Tonight we are turning to the book of 1 Thessalonians. Chapter 5. And read from two verses. But of the times and the seasons, brethren, we have not need that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. And tonight we are thinking about expectation for the return of Christ, or the second coming of Christ. And as previously, we ended chapter 4. Remember, Apostle Paul was consoling the believers in Thessalonica as he told, he was about it. As we try to draw from his words, that it seems when Timothy returned to him from them, there was a concern about those who have died and their relationship. The effect that the coming of Christ, the immediate effect that will come on them. And so he seems to address that issue here. And he told them how that the dead believers have the same privilege as those of the living believers at the time Christ will come. And so he even told them in verse 18 of chapter 4, that wherefore comfort one another with his words, so that your life as Christians, there should be no point where there is sadness because of the promises of Christ, where you are not having a full understanding of them. So that is what he told them. But tonight, as I said, we will go on to chapter 5 to begin that chapter, and our theme is expectation for the return of Christ. And it says, but of the times and seasons, brethren, we have no need that I write unto you. We may infer from this that it seems that either Apostle Paul was anticipating an inquiry from the Thessalonian believers, as he have dealt on the return of Christ, and that he has told them of the certainty of Christ coming. Surely, some of them may say, then the apostle may have some knowledge about the exact time that he will be coming. Or also, it may be that Timothy came to also, in the course of how they were in that constant view of thinking that maybe they are looking for when actually the Lord will come. Because, as I told you the last time, that the return of Christ and the coming of Christ, the resurrection of the dead, and all those are very cardinal points of the gospel. If you take them out, what is the hope of believers? We are confused as the world and as other religions which have no hope for the dead, for their dead. So he comes to deal with the issue from this part of the book. And he says that, but of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I write unto you. The times and the season, probably the year, the month, the day and hour of Christ's return. Because that's the times and the season, the time that Christ will come. And probably, is he going to come on the Lord's day? Is he going to come? Well, people will be conjecturing. People will be, saying many things about the time of the Lord's return. You know that as in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, Apostle Paul had to address the issue of others, saying that the resurrection have passed already. So therefore, others also have so many views of the Lord's return. But he tells them, the times and the seasons, he have no need that I write unto you, brethren. The times and the seasons. Why? This is because they seem to be bigger. And you know that if you look at the writing about the Lord's return in the Bible, in the epistles, sometimes we think that even the apostles themselves, it is true that everybody was expecting any time that the Lord returned. As if that in their time, the Lord will have to return in their time and all that. But then, that has been the idea of the church, and of course, the Lord has said we should expect his return. So it's that the times and the season, I need to write unto you. Verse 2, for yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And before we go to verse 2, you know that in the history of the church, people have tried to give dates and times to the Lord's return. I'm sure we have heard some over and over again. And there was one popular one by this man's name is called William Miller. He was once a Baptist preacher in the U.S. in the, I think, the 19th century. He predicted that at around, sorry, he predicted that in the year 1843 or so, the Lord will return. And people were following that. And when it came, but he was a figure people were following. Well, they have been giving a lot of predictions about that. The time came, Christ didn't come. He was disappointed. And so, in church history, there's something called the great disappointment. People were so disappointed of his time. And then there was, the people realized that it's not true. And people have again and again cried into that. And the interesting thing is that the apostles themselves never claimed to know anything about that. Because the knowledge of that is not given. But people will try to do some calculations. Okay, the Lord Jesus Christ came in this year, so and so. So as to, I mean, yeah, the signs are given, but the exact time and season, it is not given. And I'm sure in our time also, people may be giving a similar statement about the Lord's return. But we know that the Bible teaches that there is no exact time given. In the Lord Jesus Christ's own words, which I will refer to as we go on. But then, this man gave, and others have given a similar prediction. And most of the times, I think it's from him that we have the Adventist kind of Christian beliefs that came from him, where people and continuously have been predicting this many days afterwards. But as we know from Scripture, all who claim to have those knowledge are liars, because the Bible doesn't give us anything about that. We don't know the exact time the Lord will return. The signs of it are given in the Scriptures. And we just look at the sign, well, it's closer, but as to when, the time and season, we don't know the time that the Lord will come. Right, so you see that by the time of the times and the seasons, brethren, you have known that I write unto you. For yourself know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. You know perfectly. Meaning that Apostle Paul have taught them exactly about this matter. How they have to, look up to this matter by the Lord's return. You know precisely, exactly, perfectly by the day that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. In Luke, Apostle Paul was speaking on authority from Christ onwards. In Luke chapter 12, the Lord himself said that. Luke chapter 12, verse 39. So Apostle Paul was not just telling them something that he himself has not. Christ himself has said that. Luke 12, verse 39, he says that. These are the words of Lord Jesus Christ. And this know that if the good man of the house had known what hour the thief will come, he would have watched and not have suffered his house to be broken through, speaking to the disciples. But be ye therefore ready also, for the Son of Man cometh at an hour when ye think not. And Peter also told us that the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night. And the Lord also have made a reference to his coming. People are unaware when he comes. And why does Apostle Paul say like a thief in the night? His intention is not like a thief coming to steal, but the manner thieves operate. How do thieves come upon their victims? Well, people are moving about it, then they bump into them, and they are unexpected. And then they come and do whatever they want to do. So the Lord's manner is like how thieves come. That means the unexpected, the sudden appearance of thief. That's how he's trying. So you perfectly know, I've taught you from Scripture, the Lord himself has said how his coming will be like unexpected on the world at large. On the world at large. So like a thief in the night. So that people will be surprised at his coming. And I'm sure in our world today, how people are living their life today, I see the Lord's return is no more. I've been to hear people been saying that, if the Lord will come, he has come a long time ago. It's like, the people don't even believe that the Lord is going to return. But I say that the Lord's coming will be like a thief in the night when people are unaware. And he's telling them, you know, exactly this, so that though the Lord will come suddenly, but it will not surprise the true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. But they will be ready. Why people are surprised by it? Because they are never ready. They are surprised by the coming of it, because they are not ready. But the believers, I mean, will not be. Though it will be a wonder to see him coming, but because a true believer, he lives each and every day in anticipation of the Lord's return. So it also tells us that if we are not really genuine, and each and every day we live for ourselves, it will also surprise us. And it will also surprise our claim to be Christians. So you see, this is a great challenge. Well, how are we also, that are believers, not to be surprised like how thieves are? People are surprised by thieves. And how in the night God, I mean, unknowing to them. Believers know the will of the Father. We know from Scripture. And each and every day we live in anticipation, being able to live this will out. And the expectation of the Lord's coming is one of the things we are always looking up to. It's like somebody who's expecting a visitor. Though he doesn't know the hour, well, the visitor, I'm coming. Well, we don't know the hour the visitor is going to come. Maybe you know the day, I mean that one is better, you know the day he's going to come. And let me give you the example, like in those days there was no telephone. Okay, so when a person even has taken a bus, he cannot even communicate to you, I'm coming at this hour. So when people are visiting, sometimes they will say they are coming, but the day they are coming, they may not be able to reach us. They may be stuck in the way because the transport is not connecting or something. So, but all of a sudden, the person comes. Yes, we are happy they come, and we don't really know the exact time they were supposed to come. But at least, the surprise wouldn't be like others who were never aware that he was coming. Others, maybe friends who knew him, never expected. They come, oh, are you here? So that is it. So that those who are not expecting. And so we ask ourselves, are we also expecting the Lord's coming? Is each and every day our lives, how we live our lives, show that we are expecting His coming? Those who are soaked with the world entertainment, and with the world, acquisitions of wealth, and consume with their personal lives, will never look when the Lord will come. That's why genuine believers are always practicing self-denying. Because in practicing that, we're able to go out of our own selves and to really give ourselves more to the things of the Lord. But when we are more consumed with this world and the things that surround us, well, definitely will not be so much concerned with the Lord's coming. But He will surprise those who are not expecting Him. So, but Apostle Paul said that they know perfectly. So believers must perfectly be aware that though the Lord will come the day that, they don't know, but it might not surprise them. Though to surprise the world at large, unbelievers, it's all not to surprise the believer that the Lord will come. Only that we are not sure of the particular time He will come. So, and He moves on in verse 3. For when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. For when they shall say peace and safety, here is in reference to unbelievers. It's in reference to unbelievers. And remember, the Bible tells us in the time of Noah, people were marrying, they were giving marriage, they were enjoying in a flood. Meaning that people thought they were secure in the world. They thought that whatever Noah was saying about the rain coming, the God bringing water, they never expected it. Peace and safety, when they thought that they are settled in the world. And it's not the same way, sinners act in the world. Well, when life goes on well for them, when things are okay, things about their soul, that they don't care about it. And immediately, life program bumps in onto them. And they are surprised. And they don't know where to turn to. And Apostle Paul used what? A travel of a woman. How a woman, a pregnant woman, well expecting when to, but she doesn't really know at that time. She moves about her business, she moves about her work, she may even go to work or travel in a bus. I'm sure you have heard of pregnant women giving birth in bus and other things. When she was leaving, though she knew her time was closer, there was no signs, but there should be signs showing that today she has to. There was no signs. And she moved about her business. And all of a sudden, the pains of birth comes upon her. That's the picture of what is using here. When they say peace and safety, when people are so settled in the world, when people are so careless about sin, when people are so careless about their spiritual life, and they think, well, we are okay. Well, they say that God will come and punish us, but yes, we are okay. They move on. And as I said, even in normal life, see how people who don't care about spiritual things, and all of a sudden, I mean, you know, friends, that thing that happened to them, there's a big life issue, maybe illness or maybe an accident, or their whole world has devastated. That's how, I mean, trouble comes to, I mean, our sinners. And also, especially, those who not listen to, I mean, those who not listen to warning. Those when they are warned, they don't care about it. Often, the thing that they discard, they don't, the very warning they put away, the same thing comes onto them and they are surprised. The very warnings they put away, the very advices they put away. And when it comes to the Bible, somebody who comes to church, he doesn't well concern. There's a particular habit or situation he's living or he's in. It pleases the Lord. The sermon or the Bible is about it. He doesn't want to deal with the situation. He keeps on in that. If he's a child of God, the Lord will allow the same trouble to very bump in his life, and that will make him to return to the Lord. But if the person is left on to go on and go on, it's not. I mean, God doesn't care about him. Then he's not of the Lord. So you see, it is common that trouble come unto those who are disobedient. They are surprised by their own sinful way, and they are so much trouble. But over here, they say that, and they shall not escape. Why will sinners not escape God's the trouble that will come upon them because of their neglect? Because God directs all the afflictions of life. This is, I mean, general truth of scripture. So sometimes I just look at people who, well, people may cause us trouble, but every disappointment in our life, people may cause it. The Lord doesn't have allowed it. If people understand this very well, as even Christians, I'm sure, well, we'll feel the trouble, we'll be suffering, and then when we think about it a little bit further, we'll be relieved and really pray to God more and ask Him to help us in our situation. We'll never be bitter against anybody. We'll never be complaining against situations and things. We'd rather go to God and pour our complaints to Him. As I mean, the hymn writer told us, God is the one we should pour our complaints to Him. God, do we really believe in God? That he is in control of everything. And that situation that He has placed us in, He's not able to, take us out. It's His unbelief. Sometimes it's our unbelief. And sometimes it can happen to a believer when our faith is down. Because we may be in a difficult situation, and we think that God has deserted us. I mean, we have examples in the Bible, and it may happen to us. But let's remember that. They say that, and it shall not escape. If the Lord wants anything to come in our way, we cannot escape it. Every situation the Lord allows, we can. That is why believers, the world, though they cannot escape, they may try to find solutions to their. But we, when the trouble happens, we only turn to the Lord. We only turn to the Lord and pray and ask Him to help us. Even if there's something that we ask Him, even if others have to do something, He is able to change their mind to do according to His will. We don't need, to really use our own physical, fleshly strength and our fleshly techniques to get our way through things. No, Christians, if you do that, you cannot prove the Lord. But to sinners, it comes; they cannot escape. So this is a general statement about disobedience. And of course, Paul is using this to show, in contrast to believers, who, though their situation will be better in this, they will never be settled. They will never see there's peace and safety in this world. Our spirituality, we should just feel like, no, we are journeying, we are traveling. We are like the people of Israel. God fed them manna and everything in the wilderness. Those who were really trusted never thought that they were settling. No. Whenever God said they should move, they gather their things and go. It doesn't matter how that place was fertile, how that place was really comforting to them. They have to march on. But how are we obedient to the Lord in that we are Christians? If we are one of those that have come to the Lord, and the Lord has changed our hearts. If we have really tasted the graciousness of the mercy of God, how are we willing to give ourselves to that? So this is a general statement that when they say peace and safety, so the believer should never in this world think of peace and safety, except in Christ, except in the things of Christ. But in this world, our possessions, our incomes, the various circumstances the Lord places us. We should never say, oh well, I am set now, I am okay. Well, no. If we are Christians, every place we see we are comfortable, the Lord will bring in a turn. To judge us up to think that, no, we are not here for the world. We are here for a season. And then we'll go to our home forever. It is the mindset of the mind that Christians should have, that whatever situation the Lord has cast me, I should rather thank Him and ask Him how I can even use my better situation to, help His things and even others also. Not that it is for me and myself and that's all. No. So when they say peace and safety, and what? Then suddenly the destruction cometh upon them as travel upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape. The last part is very important. Whatever the Lord wants to direct as a way of chastisement or punishment, no one can escape. And in reference to the day of judgment, no one can escape. When the Lord has directed it, no one can escape. We may try to swerve it. If we are His children, He will bring it another way to us. So it's better we take it and obey it so that He will really, because every trouble that comes to our life is for a purpose. It's for a purpose. So that we should rather take it so that His purpose will run for us and not go against His will than to try to divert it, to have to swerve, thinking we are smart. The Lord knows it. He knows that. And He also knows those who are His, so that we cannot do away with that. Verse 4, but ye brethren, ye are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. So He has come again to the believers. So He chipped in this part, which was the mindset of unbelievers, thinking they are settled. But He said that, no, they are settled. They shall not escape the punishment that will come on them. And in the day of the Lord, which will surprise them. So verse 4, but ye brethren are not in darkness. Darkness stands for misery, sorrow, and also ignorance, unbelief, errors, and something like that. So he said, ye are not in darkness. Ye are not in and also, yes, ye are not in error. Ye are not in unbelief. Ye really believe in the coming of the Lord. That's what it means. You are not in darkness. You are not in the masses of the world who think that the world is okay, the Lord is not coming. Ye are not in unbelief about this matter. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are not in darkness. You are not. So this is a general statement also about the state of believers. Believers are not in darkness about every will of the Lord. Every will of the Lord, we have the Spirit to direct us to. We are not in darkness about the world, and unbelievers are in darkness concerning the will of the Lord for them. That's why they cannot walk with the Lord. They don't know His way. Believers are not in darkness. Why? Because one of the work of the Spirit at the time we were born again is that He will illuminate our minds. He enlightened us. In Ephesians, we pray that the Lord will give them more enlightenment. And that is where we call of perfection. And we grow perfection. When the illumination of the Spirit is more, the light of God's word, we are able to embrace it and walk in it and live in it. That is then our darkness. We have so clearer light about the things of God. So instead of, but you brethren are not in darkness. Generally, as I said, believers are not in darkness because we have the light of God's way. We have the light of the gospel. The Spirit Himself, the Spirit of light is in us. So we are not in darkness at all about every will of the Lord. And concerning His coming, we are not in darkness. And so that people, whatever people will say, will not surprise us. Because, you see, the Lord will make sure that we know and we are certain so that, because when we are confused about any truth of God, then errors will surprise us. When people say otherwise, then we are confused. We don't know what, but we are not in darkness. We have clearer light. Christ has said that His coming will be a sudden, not a day that we will know that it will be a sudden. So we know that. So nobody can tell us that the Lord is coming on so and so day that we believe it. Nobody. We know that it's a lie. So we are not in darkness. And as I said, it's every will of the Lord, we are not in darkness. That day should overtake you as a thief, you see? So that true believers are not in darkness. They are not in unbelief. They are not in error. So that the day, though they don't know the particular day, when they come, it will not surprise them as a thief surprises his victims. It will be a joyous day to see the Lord coming. And because they are expecting Him. They'll be happy that the Lord will appear in the sky to call us, but no believer will be totally be surprised. We'll be totally unaware that the Lord is coming, so that day should overtake you as a thief. Again, going back to what he has said in verse 3, that people who are settled, think it's safe, I mean, they are safe in this world, it's in darkness. Because when people are settled in this world, they are blinded by the things of God. They cannot see, they cannot have the heart to think about the things of the Lord, and that unbelief surrounds them. That is why, even the Lord, spoke strongly about those who are the rich people in the world. He said that it's difficult for them to come, to the knowledge of the truth, because the love of the things in this world, it blinds them. The love of sin, the love of things in this world blinds people's eyes. And it makes them like, the nation of Israel, they are the trouble, or the most of the time, the things that they put, idolatry. They trust in things. They trust in support from other nations. They trust in other things than the Lord himself. And this is a state of darkness. Because why will people trust in things and not in God? Because they are confused about the reality of what God is saying. They cannot really believe it. And if you cannot believe it, then anything can attract their attention. But no, my brethren are not in darkness. They are not in darkness. Believers have a brighter light. We have brighter understanding of everything. The believer could be a poor, so-called insignificant person in this world, but if he's a true believer, he's the most intelligent, most wise person in the world, because he knows the will of God in every situation. The most intelligent person in the world, as Apostle Paul told us in 1 Corinthians, that God used the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, so that the knowledge of the very so-called unintelligent in the eyes of the poor person, he knows the will of God, he knows the truth, and he knows what God speaks, and he knows the will of God to do. But the most intelligent person will throw away even everything that the Lord says. He thinks that the knowledge of God is foolish, because it doesn't accord with reason. Why should I really give myself to the Lord? Why should I have to look and make sure that I seek the Lord? You say no, because my life is okay. There's no need for that. No, but even the most poorest of all believers, saints, know that to live is to live by faith in the Lord. To live is to live upon the word of God. To live and have joy is to have the joy which the scripture gives. Every joy which we have, which is not according to God's word and his will, will rather bring us bitterness. Today we have plenty, and soon there's a ton in this world. But the more we are more knowledgeable with the word of God and enjoying it, there's no bitterness. We rather enjoy more and more, and our delight in the things of Christ and the word become more and more. But the more the things of the world we have, the more our trouble become bigger. And yet that's what Paul thinks there's peace and safety. The more of the things of the world we have, the more the troubles we have. So you see that you brethren are not in darkness, that they should overtake you as a thief. So that is it. But so my question to you is that, are you also among those that are expressing the loss, and that the day of his coming will not overtake you as a thief? And that day, as the Bible says, the day of the Lord. That particular day, as in the Bible, the day of the Lord, the day of judgment on this world, and the day, as we learned in chapter 4, of the resurrection of the dead, and the meeting of believers in the sky to meet the Lord, as we learned the other time. That day, because look at that, a believer who that day will be changed. A believer who that day, even if he's not dead, will have a change of nature. And he'll be aware that the Lord has changed him. And I'm sure the Lord will not change anyone who's not expecting him. The Lord will change those who are expecting him. Because, as the Bible says, the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. So that whatever the Lord is doing, it doesn't surprise us. Because we learn that the apostle said that when dead believers arise, those of us who believe in, we will be caught up together with them in the sky, so we shall meet the Lord. And who will not be, who is a believer who will not always living each and every day in anticipation of this? If anyone lives not in anticipation of this, that means this person is happy in this world. Every true believer is so happy in this world. It's not that we live a sad life, but we are not having that comfort, having that peace for the things of this world. Yes, we enjoy food, we enjoy things, and society and everything, but no, our joy is not in the things that goes on in this world. Our joy is when the Lord shall return. Look at the world. What are we expecting from it? The believer expects nothing from this world. So that day, the day where sinners will be judged, the day where believers will be taken to glory, that day will not overtake the believer, will not surprise the believer, will not make the believer, oh, I was not expecting that the Lord came. Yes, he will be expecting that the Lord is coming, because it's not in that day. We are of the light. The light of the gospel has shone abroad in our heart, and the light of gospel is always guiding us. Verse 5. Ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of the darkness. Ye are all the children of light. Light is opposed to darkness. And I've told you, darkness, unbelief. And you know that light is an attribute of God. God is light. And he speaks about his nature, which is not mixed with any, which cannot be tainted with sin. God is light. And in him, we are told about, in him is no darkness at all. Meaning that in him is no anything sinful, anything evil, nothing that, even when he punishes sinners, it's not to cause just misery. It's because he's the judge of all the earth. God doesn't cause misery to people to just suffer. People have suffered according to punishment. That is God's will for them. But God doesn't just cause sorrow to people and just he calls for a purpose. And with him, when he's doing that, he's doing that to really bring a good purpose to that person. So it's not of sin. And the Lord, God is light. That's what the Bible tells us. It means that his nature is unmixed with any sin. And he said that we are all the children of light. That means we are all God's children. Children of light, God is light. And if believers are children of light, they are mean that they are children of God. And the children of the day. You know that in the gospel, it is pictured that those in the gospel are coming to the day, the gospel light. So in reference to the believer's state in this world, we are all the children of light. And this sin of Apostle Paul really challenges us much. Then also, am I a believer? That you ask yourself that question. Am I a child of light? And that means that my own life should be according to God, who is light. And am I living in progression of this? Do I have that light of God, his life in my heart? Wherein, as the Bible teaches us, that he saved us to conform to the image of his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ, when he came, he said that I am the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And we are God's children. And we are also light. Also, in Matthew, I told that he points to the believer, he are the light of the world. So we should shine this world. Our character should show forth that we are of the light. That there's no insincerity in our lives. Lies are abhorrent. And cover up is shunned by the true believer. Because God hates such lives. Sometimes we may be struggling with that. The Lord will help us to overcome it. So that we shall live as if we are the children of light. It's enjoyable to be a child of light, because in that state, we have the mind of the Lord. Because his truth itself shines in our hearts. And his truth itself directs us. So that our walk in this world, though this world is dark with sin, we have life to walk in this life. We have the knowledge, we have the wisdom of what directs us. Because his word directs us. And only believers can live according to God's word. Only believers can really live. And those who are the light are expecting the day, for the day of the Lord's coming. It is pictured in the Bible as a day. As a day, like a day that is like a sunshine, that the sun, we are told that the day star will appear. It is showing like the coming of a day. So we are not in darkness. And it challenges us to think of who we are if we say we are Christians. How is my life? And how is my life in this world? Am I living as that? And those who are the light are always making sure that they live according to that light. Elsewhere, we are told that nobody lights a candle and puts it under a bushel, and put it under a container so it cannot be seen. So if I am a Christian, my life as a Christian ought to be seen. There's no private Christian. I mean, it's a lie. People think that for me, I mean, well, my way of Christianity is so special for man. No, there's one spirit in all of us. Yes, we may differ in some opinions, but when it comes to what Christians should desire, the honor they should look for is only one: the honor of Christ, His church, and His things. If we are lacking to honor Christ in this way, we are not of the light. We may define other things in life, our taste of things, how we want to do our thing. But when it comes to God's truth, we have one. And God's honor is only one. So the apostle, you are not in darkness, that day should overtake you. The thief, ye are the children of light and the children of the day. We, the apostle Paul adds himself, we are not of the night nor of the darkness. We know the truth. And we know God has shown us the truth. So this is what he's telling us, so that though the times and seasons we don't know, yet we have greater light in Scripture concerning us to tell that He will so come, and so we expect it. And as I said, this is a challenge to us. How are we living our lives to show that we are the light, we are the children of light? You know, when you read church history, at a point in time, Christians were calling themselves saints, because it's not that they are without sin, but they are living in according to God, in Christ and His example. Can we even call ourselves saints these days, as the Bible calls us saints? We are all saints if we are believers in Lord Jesus Christ. Saints are not those dead believers as the Roman Catholic. No, saints are living, and both dead and living believers, because of Christ's own holiness which have covered us. That's what it is. We are saints not because we are good in us, but because of Christ's own goodness which covered us. So we are of the light. So let this challenge us. And as we anticipate for the second coming, let us not be confused as others. Let us always, each and every day, live our life in anticipation of that. Meaning that this calls us to obedience to Him. This calls us to devotion to Him. Because if we expect the Lord to come and take us to glory, then His things should be our greatest priority, not our things. Our daily life should show for that we are living for Him. And that is it. That is why true believers are always desiring to always honor the Lord, willing to always sacrifice everything for Him. And sometimes people may call them fanatics. Sometimes people may call them, why are they doing too much? They know, because the Lord is coming. They know, it's like when John begins his journey, and Pliable and I think obstinate followed him. They were surprised, why is he running crowd? Because the city they are living in, they have not seen any trouble. But John Mayer saw that a city of what? Destruction. A city which is ruled by Satan. Like, that's how believers see this world. The whole system of the world, the entertainment and the joy and the ambition of the world, it's anti-Christian. It's anti-Christian. And the believer living in this world is very careful to live his life, like John Mayer running and leaving this world behind. And yet, many people put on the world and still think they can run a Christian. No, when we put on the world, we cannot run a Christian race. It has to be left behind. The culture of the world, the attitude of the world, the ambitions of the world, the desires of the world. You know, in our time, the outreach ministry of the gospel is not much seen. Churches are not willing to go out to proclaim the gospel. Churches don't have so much concern for missions and other things, because churches have become to love the world. Churches are really settled because there's no persecution, in our part of the world. People are so settled. It's a serious thing. Religion, true gospel cause, is suffering because believers are not willing to say that, well, these are life troubles, but I will still dedicate my time and things for the Lord. And that is affecting. It tells us how people are not anticipating on the Lord's return, yet they claim to be believers. If we are anticipating, then what are we? What can't we leave it? What can't we leave behind to really give ourselves to the things of Christ? So let this challenge us that if, as apostles, we are all the children of light, are we also children of light? Have we known the Lord? Can the Lord shine in our heart the truth of the gospel, forgiveness of sin, repentance, and faith in Him? Have we also known this? So may the Lord help us as we think through this. we anticipate his return, that we, if we are saying we are children of light, and this will challenge us to live as children of light in this world. May the Lord help us as we think on these things.